so good. All right, who's ready for God's word today? You ready? All right, I'm pumped for this. My assignment is just to unpack this passage and then get out the way and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. So if you're in the room, you've declared by your presence that you want a deeper encounter with God and that we're not going to stay in the shallow end. And we want more of him. We didn't come here for head knowledge. We didn't come here for just good notes. We didn't just come here for just a theological unpacking. We came for an experiential knowledge of our Savior. That Paul would say, I want you to experience how wide, how deep, how vast his love is. Experience like a knower, like you know, like I've encountered God. And some of you haven't encountered God in a minute. Just like that, he's here. And I believe this morning he's going to do that for us, just an unpacking. And so I'm going to do something different. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And I want to do this. I want to start the reading of the passage with some help. And so I want to call on somebody who loves to read and who's good at reading. Don't raise your hand if you can't read. All right. We won't judge you. This is not the moment to learn. Come on. I don't want to embarrass. Like, you love to read the scripture and you could just read this passage and you want to help me read this passage. Is there anybody that has the boldness to do that? You're like, I want to be a part of this moment. Come on, be bold today. It's deeper. It's deep in conference. Come on. Anybody? Yes, you. Yes, you. Come up. Run up here. Run up here. Luke 4. Come on. Let's give it up. Let's go, Papa's girl. Great fit. What's your name? Caitlin. Thank you for coming here. Say what up to Caitlin. There's the scripture right here, right? You can read it from here if you want. But I trust you. I want you to read these. I think whatever the math is, 21 minus 14. I don't know how many. 7 verses. All right. Are you ready?
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." Amen. "To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Next verse. Is that it?
I believe that's it.
Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. Read that.
He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Caitlin? Yes. Come on, give it up for Caitlin. That was awesome. Good job. Let's go. All right, if you're taking notes today, I want to encourage you to do so. The title of today's message is Favor. And then the second title, because we're extra spiritual, two titles. Write this down. He rolled up the scroll. Let's pray in this atmosphere. Holy Spirit, we're hungry for you, your presence, your reality. Father, we open up our hearts. We thank you that you are a God that wants to encounter us more than we want to encounter you. That you are faithful. We've been singing about it. And God, I pray unashamedly, whether there's somebody in here that's been in church their whole life or this is a new season for them to be a part of something like this. I pray you would add something to us. Nobody has arrived. That you are transforming our lives even right now. We don't go from glory to gloom. We go from glory to glory. And that you are literally adding to what you've began. He who began a good work is faithful to complete the work. And so we open up our hearts, move. We come with expectation. We come with fervor. Move in our lives in a mighty way, we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, and all of God's people said amen. 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 Thank you so much, team. I'll call you up in just a moment. Favor. I want to start this message by giving us a principle. It's the principle of perspective. And the principle goes like this. It's how you view something will determine how you experience something. I'll say it again. How you view something will determine how you experience something. If you view Deep In Conference as just an event, you might leave with some merch. But if you view the event like an opportunity to grow in your faith, you might leave with an encounter. Are you with me? Come on, you could talk back. Come on, you could talk back. If you view the scriptures like opinions, then it might just be a suggestion to you. But if you view the scripture like the very words of God, it will have the potential to change your life from the inside out. How you view something will determine how you experience something. So our perspective and how we approach the things of God is important. One preacher said this, and honestly, as a black preacher, I love black preachers because they say anything and it sounds good. You know, that's just the thing. And he said this. He said, if you view Jesus like the carpenter, you could get your house fixed. But if you view Jesus like the Savior, you could get your life fixed. Ooh! Put the organ up here. Come on. How you view something will determine how you experience something. I want to ask a question today. How are you viewing this moment in history? Like this moment right now that we're living in. If you're like me, if you're left to your own like flesh, you will begin to view the time we're living in like it's somehow a cursed time. Like God, why'd you pick me for this era? You know? Why wasn't I alive in the Elvis days or when Stand By Me came out or like when times were simpler, whatever it may be. If you are only informed with bad news, you would begin to approach this life like it's somehow a curse that God has birthed you in this era. But I have something to propose to you today as we start the sermon. I want you to know today we are living in the greatest time of human history. I'm gonna say that again because two people got it. We are living in the greatest time of human history. The greatest time. Now, I'm not saying there's no darkness. I'm not saying there's no evil. I'm just saying there is a light that has dawned. That there is hope in the middle of the darkness. And we are living in the era of the movement of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, let me give some stats to you. They would say 30% of China has come to know Christ. That you can't even get Jesus out of a communist place. 35% of Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation, has come to know Jesus. How about this? There are more Christians living today than there was the amount of Christians that have ever lived since the resurrection of Jesus up until this. We're living in the greatest days. Sometimes I'll read my Bible and I'll read the Old Testament or the disciples and I'll say things like, man, it would have been cool to live in those days. It would have been cool to see David slay Goliath. It would have been good to see Jacob fight for Rachel. Like, man, you spent how many years for one girl? 14 years waiting? Dang, bro. It would have been good. It would have been great to see Moses. It would have been great to walk with the disciples. And we say things like that because we have a limited understanding. Did you know the disciples in all of the Old Testament prophets, they would be saying, I wish I was living in Haydn's day. I wish I was living in Justin's day. They would be saying the complete opposite of us because their era was an anticipation of what was to come, but we are living in the fulfillment of the promise that the Spirit of God is, come on, church, he's in our midst now. Jesus said something about John the Baptist, the last prophet of the Old Testament who ushered in Jesus. He said, there is no prophet greater than John the Baptist. There was, in other words, he was saying that there's nobody that's been more privileged than John the Baptist. And then he finishes that statement. He goes, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. What? What does that even mean? That means if you feel like a bench player in Christianity, you have a greater privilege than the greatest Old Testament prophet. Now catch this. Because the Holy Spirit was amongst them. But the Holy Spirit lives in you. They built the temple. You are the temple. Like, did you catch what I said? Like, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are God's house. You are God's dwelling place. And holy God, his holy presence, when you say yes to Jesus, you become a dwelling place for the very presence of God. They would have been like, what? The whole Old Testament is this like slow anticipation that every sacrifice was a shadow unto the greatest sacrifice. That the high priest going into the Holy of Holies once a year was but a shadow of our great high priest who would become the Lamb. that it all pointed to Jesus. And it was this slow pregnancy. Like, you got to, when you read the Old Testament, you got to just feel the longing. Is anybody pregnant in here? Come on, any pregnant? Come on, pregnant people. Come on, I honor you. You know, like my wife, when she was pregnant, it's just like, it's slow. It feels slow. It's just like, when is this going to happen? The Old Testament is 1,500 years of pregnancy, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And so I want you to know that, because I want, as we dive into Luke chapter 4, I want you to know the context. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, has been silent for 30 years. 30 years. It's crazy. I've been used in ministry for the last decade. God called me at 16, and the things we get to do so young. Jesus didn't preach a sermon until he was 30. This is a whole nother message, but this generation wants to preach when they're young. But Jesus waited till he was 30. And it's just crazy. He sat. He just learned. The Son of God. We get prepared for 3 years and for a 30-year ministry. He got prepared for 30 years for a 3-year ministry. Are you hearing me? So anyways, I don't know what that was for, but slow anticipation. Are you with me? Silent for 30 years. And you got to feel the text, because God hadn't really spoken in 500 years. The intertestamental period from Malachi to Matthew, it was silent. And there was just this longing in the heart of Israel. And Jesus is about to do something right here. He's about to read a passage from the prophet Isaiah, who I believe is the greatest Old Testament prophet. He literally displays the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah would predict the birthplace of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Like Isaiah is... It's a prophetic book, right? And he's about to read it, but I want you to know the context. This is a random Saturday. It's a Sabbath. Jesus has been silent for 30 years. In Jesus' day, there were many synagogues, small synagogues, and some large ones in Jerusalem, but there would have been the priests around the region, and they would have gathered together to allocate the scroll to each other. There wasn't many scrolls. Like, they didn't have thousands of Bibles. Like, the fact that we even can hold this word right here is an absolute miracle. The fact that you have a personal Bible is a miracle. They didn't have that. They would have these bulky scrolls written on animal skin, and they would allocate verses for the synagogues to read on the Sabbath. And it was this, like, logistical savvy thing to do. They didn't have no chat GTP. They didn't have no help from Google. They would have to just allocate the verses, roll it up, drop it in the box, predetermine, pre-plan at the right synagogue for the right Saturday. And on this particular Saturday, what they would do every Saturday is they would have an assigned reader of the day. So what this dear lady did coming up here this morning, she would have been the allocated reader of the day. And Jesus so happened to be the allocated reader of the day, sitting in the synagogue. And they're like, "Oh, Jesus, are you here?" "Yep, I'm here." And he got up on stage, and it just so happened to be this part. I thought he preached his first sermon here. I thought he like had a message ready to go. Like, "I've been waiting 30 years to preach. I'm ready to preach." But the Bible says the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. It was predetermined. And the Bible says he found the place where it said, and he begins to read the passage. Are you feeling the anticipation? He stands up in this holy moment and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And for the first time, everybody say first time. Come on, say it louder. Scare your neighbor. Say first time. For the first time, a prophecy was being read by the person the prophecy was about. And it was being fulfilled the moment it was being read. For the first time. Ooh. Nobody in the crowd knew that history was shifting on its axis in this moment. Nobody in the room understood that the 1,500 years of anticipation was coming to an end in the arrival of the Son of God. They had no idea their seemingly insignificant Saturday. It was a Saturday. They had no idea that the hinges of history were swinging, because the fulfillment had arrived. Right. My question today is, how many people don't realize the time has changed? The Savior is available. and history has been made. How many people in the gathering of the saints don't treat these moments as holy as they should be? Because they're waiting for instead of enjoying what's here. I just came to bring a message to allow somebody to know it. And God's been speaking through offering and through what Pastor Hayden was saying. God is not just going to be in your tomorrow. God wasn't just faithful in your yesterday. Jesus is here right now in this very moment, in this very room. Come on, at Deepen Conference, he is here in the room. He's here. His presence, his reality, his goodness, his... Ooh, I'm telling you, like they missed it. The issue of their day was their reaction didn't match the announcement. They were like, wow, this is a good sermon. Isn't this Joseph's son? And their familiarity with his presence stole what they could have gotten in the moment. Because it's Joseph's son. One of the things I just never want to allow in my faith is that place where you're just like, it's just Jesus. Oh, I've been in church before. Oh, we do services. No. This is holy. This is holy. Like the Savior's in the room. The person they were looking for is in the room. The person they are longing for is in the room. If you understood that your breakthrough can be today, not because I'm great, not because anybody's great, it's because Jesus is great, and that the Savior that wants to heal, wants to restore, wants to break the chain, wants to restore the marriage, wants to encourage the downcast, if you understood he was in the room, your response and my response wouldn't be apathetic, and we wouldn't be sitting down kind of reserved and poised and dignified. We would be like, what? I want a breakthrough. But the announcement didn't match their reaction. The reaction didn't match the announcement. Jesus is in the room and he begins to read something. He says, I want you to see this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. What is that? The poor is blessed. The socially unimpressive are able to be used by God now. If you feel overlooked, if you feel unseen, if you feel uneducated, if you feel like you're on the bottom of the ladder, I am telling you today, God has a plan for your life. And he could breathe on your life just like he breathed on these uneducated fishermen. And he can use your life in supernatural ways. And you were not just meant to pass time. You were not just meant to take up space and inhale oxygen or exhale carbon dioxide. I don't know the math or the science, but you're not just here to take up space. You were here to leave a mark. You were here to build the kingdom of heaven. You were here to partner with the Holy Spirit. I'm here to declare that over your life. He's come to bring good news to the poor. He's come to bring freedom to the prisoner. What is that? That is forgiveness for those that have put themselves in a prison. If you feel prisoned right now by your own failure and inadequacy, I'm telling you, there is a chain breaker and one that can open up the jail cell for you. He's the forgiver. He is faithful. He is good. Recovery of sight to the blind. What is that? God can heal you. I still believe God is a healer today. I still believe he could do miracles today. We sing about it, we declare it in a song, but we gotta be about it in our faith. That literally, like if you came in your body is hurting and the diagnosis is scaring you, we're gonna believe today for supernatural healing in your life. What happens if nothing happens? What happens if something does? God is still sovereign, God is still good, but we believe what he declared for us to believe. He is the healer of the broken. He can open up the eyes of the blind. Ooh! And to set the oppressed free. Are you oppressed? Is your soul heavy? Did you walk in limping today because your soul is heavy? One encounter with Jesus. Friend, listen, one encounter. The weight can be lifted. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Come on, Deepen Conference. He will give you rest for your soul. Soul. And then this is my favorite part, and we'll like land here. And he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Ooh. Everybody say favor. Favor. Come on, shout it like you mean it. Favor. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I didn't put this main point down, but you could write it down. Because of the time of favor, there is no such thing as an average day. Don't we feel like we're owed our days? Don't we only look forward to birthdays and celebrations? And I love birthdays and celebrations. I just had one. I'm turning 30. Awesome. But because I'm living in the day of the Lord's favor, every single day is holy before God. And every day God can use me in supernatural ways. And today could be the day. Ooh. There's no average day because he's come to declare the year of the Lord's favor. So let's define it. What is favor? Undeserved, irrational, unexplainable, preferential treatment and acceptance. I'll say it again. Undeserved, irrational, unexplainable, preferential treatment and acceptance. It is God's gracious disposition towards his people. I am living in the time of the Lord's favor, and I'm here to declare over my life, and I want you to declare it over your life. You are favored by God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross over 2,000 years ago. You're going to catch it. Somebody shout, I'm favored. If you believed this, you would walk different. If you believed it, you would talk different. If you believed you were favored, you wouldn't wait for a specific degree or a time to be used by God in powerful ways. You wouldn't post things to get attention from people. You won't slide in DMs to try to sneak. Anyways, you would walk different, talk different, back high. You would literally, your strut would be different if you believed you were favored. And I get hyped about this. Because in my childhood, everything yelled at me I wasn't favored. I remember putting on the screen, watching my brother's second birthday, and I was 4 years old, and my dad going, God bless my first and last son. And I was like, what? What am I doing here? I just remember feeling like I wasn't supposed to be here because my parents didn't plan me. My mom was on birth control. She was pregnant 6 months and didn't know she was pregnant. Which, by the way, my question is, Mom, what were you eating? Because if you didn't know you were pregnant for six months, something's wrong right now. You got to go on a fast or something. Anyway, that's funny. I don't care what you say. All right. I just remember feeling like a oops baby. I remember feeling like I wasn't planned. And when God began to reveal to me that he might have used my family for me to get here, I might have come through my family, but I came from God. Nobody's here by accident. Oh, my goodness. I had to believe I'm favored. I had to believe that I don't need a reference for God to do it in my life. I don't have another Filipino Saudi Arabian preacher in America I can look up to. The only other person is my brother, and he looks up to me, so that's a whole nother. I'm just joking now. Somebody shout, I'm favored. You're favored by God. Favor caused David to defeat Goliath, caused Noah to build something no one else has ever seen, caused the man from the smallest tribe to defeat the nations. Favor keeps you in the storm. So when I say favor, the human reaction is, I don't know if I'm favored because I'm in unfavorable circumstances. But the favor of God doesn't mean you're not going to go through fires. The favor of God doesn't keep you from fires, but it keeps you in fires. You're like, I'm in a fire right now. I don't feel favored. Tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that. And in the middle of the furnace, still favored by God, the fourth man is with you in the fire. I don't know who that's for today, but some of you, your circumstances are screaming at you. I'm not favored. I want to declare you're favored by the Lord. Come on. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I've given you authority to trample over the enemy. Like if you think about what Jesus has provided for us, like I can stand in the authority, the gifted authority of Jesus. That no enemy, no thought that doesn't come from God is allowed to stay in my life because he's gifted me authority. You know what's so crazy? The enemy has no authority over your life. He doesn't. The only authority the devil has over your life and my life is the authority we gift to him. So here the enemy is operating on gifted authority. And here we are as children of God, sulking in something that we were never meant to sulk in. And the devil's using his gifted authority. My question to you today is, why aren't you? You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're a child of the Most High God. You are not an orphan anymore. I just came to preach to the Spirit that would tell you you're not favored and you're overlooked and God's using everybody else and my circumstance and this victim mentality that is being propagated by culture would lie to you and tell you that God's hand's not on your life, but God's hand is on your life because we're living in the time of the Lord's favor. Amen. Man. Shout this. This might feel uncomfortable, and I know it sounds like a little self-helpy, but it's biblical. Everyone shout, I am God's favorite. Say it louder. Say, I'm God's favorite. Some of you, like, that's like, you get awkward when you say that because you're trying to be humble. No, I'm not God's favorite. I'm not. You're trying to be humble, but no, you are God's favorite. Because his love, he's all powerful. So he can fully favor you and fully favor you and fully favor you and still fully favor me. I am the one. What did John write? I'm the one Jesus loved. I just thought that, like, John's writing his gospel and he's like talking about himself. He's like, and the one that Jesus loved was leaning on his chest. I'm like, ooh, you prideful. He's not prideful. He got a revelation of something. He's the one that Jesus loved, but so was Peter, and so was Bartholomew, and so, come on, so was Matthew, but John got the revelation. I'm the one that Jesus loves. And we got to walk like that and live in that because we are living not in one day. What, Pastor Mike, you're declaring the year of the Lord's favor because it's 2024 and it sounds good to say? No. If it was 2020, I could stand up confidently in the middle of a pandemic and say it is the year of the Lord's favor because the year of the Lord's favor is the time we're living in right now. It's like this. We're in the favor time. And I'm over here walking around like, no, here's what favor means. Supernatural turnarounds. Limitations broken. Missed opportunities redeemed. Hearts mended. Shut doors opened. And here's my favorite. The heavens are open. Jesus opened up the heavens. Like right now, the heavens are open. The ladder between us and God has been created by the Son of God who descended and ascended. And we're living right now, everybody say right now, under an open heaven. You know what we're doing at Deepen Conference? We're not trying to open up heaven. There's a lot of movements in our world. It's just, I see videos online. I'm like, y'all look so stressed trying to open up a heaven. And everyone's like, let's. They bought into something that their performance opens up heaven. But our performance doesn't open up heaven. Jesus's performance opened up heaven. This will change your life. Because every spiritual discipline that we learn, that we apply, isn't to open up heaven, it's to get under the open heaven. I pray in the morning to get under the open heaven. I fast in the beginning of the year to get under an open heaven. I come to Deepen Conference to get under it. It's happening right now. But the problem is at moments I'm living under something else. I'm living under the influence. I'm living under culture. I'm living underwhelmed with life because I refuse to get under the open heaven. It's a shift of perspective, of posture. It's a perspective shift because how you view something will determine how you experience something. And if you view these days that we're living in like average closed heaven days, you will not experience the God like he's called you to experience him. We can actually experience him right now. I'm hungry for that. Like I know you are too. I'm hungry for it. And every single day, you have to just make the decision, I'm going to get under the open heaven. I don't know what it is about me. I wake up on like the wrong side of the bed. I don't know. I thought there's something wrong with me. All you happy people that wake up and it's Disneyland and oh my gosh. Just like, oh my God, the sun's out. And you start singing in the shower. I'm just like, I get jealous. I'm like, how dare you? How come when I wake up, I'm going to be honest. Let me get honest. I'm a pastor. I've been saved 12 years. There are a lot of days, most days, I'm waking up and it feels like I got to fight 5 demons before I brush my teeth. Doesn't it feel like it's like, man, and all these lies tend to hit. You should be further along, Michael. You shouldn't have talked to your wife like that last night, Michael. Look who you are, you hypocrite, Michael. You're going to get up another day. And it's like, where is this coming from? And if I'm not careful, I will allow the voices of my past to inform my present instead of simply yielding to an open. I want to get under. God, what do you have to say about me? What do you have to say about me? And that's why we're here, to get under it, the time of the Lord's favor. And I think about Jesus. I think about his life. As he walked planet Earth, somebody that was ridiculed and own family deserted him and his own friends betrayed him and people throwing stones at him. How was Jesus able to just stay composed? One writer says Jesus walked with a non-anxious presence. There wasn't an anxious vibe from Jesus. And he was feeling the weight of the world, yet he was confident in who the Father told him he was. I believe that confidence he walked in his day, it didn't come because he was the Son of God in his divinity. It happened because every day, the Bible will tell us, he got away. He would spend time with his Father. He would go into prayer and he would hear something from the Father. 2 times God the Father speaks in the New Testament. 2 times. And he says the same thing over his Son. This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I'm well pleased. And I believe it was that voice that was helping Jesus walk in this turmoil called the world. And it's the same voice speaking over your life, friend. I came to just encourage. It's the time of the Lord's favor. Piano could come up. I'm almost done, but what would happen if we got this revelation to position us to get under the favor of God? It would change our life. When Jesus said, today is the day of the Lord's favor, you know what the Jewish listener was hearing when he said that? They would have thought of the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was every 50 years, there was this radical celebration where every prisoner was released, all the debt was forgiven. Come on, Biden, forgive my debt before you get out of office. Come on. All debt. If you were a servant, a slave, you would get to go back home. If you lost property, you would get the property back. The year of Jubilee. They would have heard about the year of Jubilee, the year of the time of the Lord's favor. Captives free, debt forgiven, hope released. Things that you lost in a survival season, God would give back to you. I feel that in my bones as I was prepping. It is 2024, and some of us in the room are in survival mode still because our heart is still in 2020. Maybe from the loss, maybe from the trial, maybe from the pain. And you're living today in the year of the Lord's favor and his grace is available, but for some reason you're stuck in survival and Jesus is coming on the scene and he's saying, today is the day of the Lord's favor. You don't have to survive any longer. You can thrive. You can live life and life more abundantly, not just get by and pass time, but actually thrive in this life. It's the year of Jubilee. You know what's so crazy about this? When Jesus declared this, it wasn't the year of Jubilee. That'll preach right there. Because what Jesus was saying was, I'm able to redeem time. The day you're waiting for, you don't have to wait for any longer. It's arrived. And I don't know about you, but I know I serve a God that can redeem the calendar. He can speed up time. He can expedite a miracle. He can, in a moment. I want to believe in faith. This could be the year that your loved one comes to know Jesus. This could be the year. I believe in counseling. I believe in getting professional help for mental struggles. I do believe in all of that. But I also believe in the great physician who can expedite a healing process in your mind. That what would take somebody 20 years might take you 2 weeks. Because God is into speeding up. He could speed it up. Now, I'm not against process and I'm not against the long trip. And I love that. But I'm telling you, God can, he can change the calendar. The whole beauty of the New Testament is what you are waiting for has arrived. The whole cry of the Old Testament, one day, Jesus steps in and says, today, today, today is healing. Today is the day of salvation. Today, somebody's life can turn around. Pastor Mike, it sounds like you're trying to get my hopes up. Yep, I am. And if anybody preaches the gospel and your hopes don't get up, they didn't preach the gospel. Because what we're used to is earn and deserve. I don't deserve it. I know, that's why it's called favor. First part of the definition, undeserved. Preferential treatment. We live in this dog-eat-dog world. I get what I hand out is karma. No, no, no. Grace is not karma. Grace is you did not, you could not, you will not, but Jesus did. My pastor says it all the time. Religion says do, 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 do. Jesus says done, 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 done. It is finished. Oh, come on. Why aren't some people living under this open heaven? I'll tell you why. You're expecting judgment. You're expecting punishment. The Bible says in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears has not been made perfect in love. For some of you right now, you are hesitating towards the message because that religious voice is saying, you don't deserve his goodness. You don't deserve the healing. You don't deserve the answered prayer. And I just wanted to push that away and say, no. Can I show you one last thing and we'll pray? Can I show you one last thing that just blew my mind? I want you to see this. When Jesus reads this passage, he's quoting what we now know as Isaiah chapter 61. There was no chapters in Jesus's day that was put later. The chapters aren't inspired. They were there to help us because that would be hard to find passages if we didn't have numbers. But Jesus is reading Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And I want to read it out of Isaiah, and then we'll jump back to Luke if we could do that. But I want you to see something. How powerful this is. Jesus is reading. This is out of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And look at this in Isaiah. And the day of vengeance of our God. And the day of vengeance of our God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Let's read it one last time. And the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. Look at this. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance. Go next verse. Look what Jesus does. The Bible says, then he rolled up the scroll. Look at that. And he gave it back to the attendant. So Jesus gets up and he does what no Bible teacher is allowed to do. He says one part of the text and doesn't finish the scripture. I'm here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but in vengeance too, right? Nope, I'm gonna roll it up. And he rolled up the scroll. Because the first time Jesus came to earth, he came to bring favor, forgiveness, another start. We're living in the day of the Lord's favor right now. Judgment is not for right now. Jesus said, come on, church, I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Oh, there will be a day Jesus will come back and he'll judge the living and the dead, and every secret sin will be revealed in the light of Jesus' arrival. But today is the day of God's forgiveness. And if you're breathing in here and you need a fresh start in here and you need fresh forgiveness in here, I'm here to tell you here that Jesus is here to bring favor. Favor, not judgment, not ridicule, not rejection. Some of you are expecting judgment, and I feel it, because your worship is connected to what you think about God. And how you view him will determine how you experience him. And part of the reason we're not experiencing the God of the Bible is because we're viewing him wrong. And I came to push back on that spirit on session 2. Because my conviction is there is a part of Jesus we're not experiencing because we're expecting judgment. I know you failed. I know you tripped up. But the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times and they get up again. They get up. And I'm not here preaching a cheap grace that would try to use the grace of God for sin. I'm talking about biblical grace. That is empowerment to live righteous. And you will never walk in that empowerment if you are receiving the rejection of God. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and I feel it in my bones today, therefore there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That if you are condemned today, that's not the voice of your heavenly Father. That's not his voice. That's the voice of the enemy. Because condemnation is I will not, I cannot, I am not, but therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. No, none, zero. He doesn't use it. He doesn't use condemnation to motivate you to serve him. He doesn't use condemnation to get something from you. That's not from him. Because condemnation will not make you look Godward, it will make you look inward. And there's no power within yourself. And so if I'm going to enjoy God, if I'm going to walk in favor, if I'm going to be used by God in this generation, I'm going to have to receive something that's available for me. That is the forgiveness of Jesus and the favor of Jesus. Oh, he's in the room today. I just got a picture. The prodigal son. He's away from the father, and comes to his senses and he writes a letter to the father. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he goes back to the father. And the father is looking at the distance, runs after the son. No Jewish father would do that. And the Bible says the son comes to him and he begins to read off his letter. Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And before he can finish his letter, he rolls up his letter, because as the father is listening to this, he's not listening to it. Tells the servants, go get the fatted calf, go get the robe, go get the ring, because we're going to celebrate today, because my son was lost and now he's found. And I didn't even plan this, but Jesus rolls up the letter here. Here's the call today. You need to roll up your letter here. Your letter and all the reasons God can't fully accept you and use you in this moment of your life. Oh, I feel that in my bones. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And so in this atmosphere right now, I just want to make a call. If we can stand up to our feet all across the room and stay in this atmosphere. It's deep in conference, so we can go a little bit. But I believe freedom is in the room. And here's the call today. I felt like there were people in the room that your relationship with God doesn't feel like joy, it feels like dread. And that's the best way, that's what I heard. Not joy, but dread. And it's almost like you have moments of joy, moments of celebration, but the disposition of your walk with God is earning and deserving, and you always feel like you're behind. And I would propose to you, God has something more for you. And at session 2, he wants to break through that lie, because you're about to enter into a new season with your relationship with God that you've never even imagined. And so I don't care if you've been walking with God for decades or days. We all need that fresh encounter, and I want to make a radical call in this place. And I want you to be honest. We're family. If you're in this room, our pastor is a Derek Carr. He goes to our church. He says, it's going to get awkward right now. And it's not, because we're family. It's not awkward. It should be normal. But if you need that fresh touch, I don't care how big or small, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to meet me at this altar, and we're going to go after it, and we're going to open up our hands to the Father and watch what He's going to do. I feel like an impartation is going to take place. Some of you have been praying, I need an encounter. I need my moment. It's here. Come on. Now. Not one day. No, today. Are you ready? People are already coming up. One, you know who you are. Two, let's go. Three, just get out your seat. Make it to the altar. And I want you to come in a posture of surrender. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, just come up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I want you to come up, and I want you to just receive a fresh impartation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Worship team, if you have something to just slightly sing over us, I don't get anything you feel. I don't know, but just going to give some space. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He's here. He's here. He's here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.